Oh, Lord, we just thank you so much, Father. Glory be to God for these times that we're in, these end times. Father, we need to be closer to you than ever before. I ask, Father, that you draw us to you closer, Lord, so that we could hear you breathing. And Lord, telling us every word that we need to know, Lord, leading us and guiding us through this maze of garbage that's going on around us. And we praise you, Father. Lord, place it in our hearts for the things to pray for. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your promises. And we thank you, Lord, that you always answer your promises and the people that have faith to believe. And we thank you, Father, for tonight, that tonight's going to be special. We thank you, Father, for this open heaven you've given us. I know I say it all the time, Lord, but I just believe it. I believe that we have an open heaven, that everything that comes out of this meeting, you hear. And we just praise you, Father, glorify you for all the prayers that are answered and all the testimonies, because the glory goes to you, Lord. It's nothing that we do, but it's all the glory goes to you, Father. We praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight you anoint Andrew to speak and give out the revelations you've given him, that it would be a blessing to everybody. And I know it will. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Marilyn.
I'd like to pray for Samuel and Tiana. They're in the midst of moving. And okay. She had gotten in touch with me, and it looks like it's going to take a couple of trips to get them moved, and they're moving several hours away. So they've got a big, big day and a big night ahead of them. So Father, I just thank you and praise you for Samuel and Tiana. They are such a blessing and such a delight to the body. And Father, we send forth the angels to go with them, to help them with getting everything loaded up, prospering their trip, keeping them safe, keeping the roads clear for them. And also, Lord, helping them get unloaded and get everything set up. And Father, this is a big day for them, a new beginning. It's something they had prayed for, and you made it known unto them that this was your will and your desire, and you opened up this door for them. And Father, we just trust and pray and believe that they're going to be a bright and shining light where they are. And Father, I pray that you give them grace, that an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them to just comfort them and put peace and joy in their hearts. I know they were being attacked last night with some stuff. And I thank you, Lord, that nothing's too hard for you, and that you're just taking care of everything, and that they just have nothing but peace, that you give them strength. It's a long, hard day and night, and that you keep them, Samuel, awake when he's driving at night. And that you're just everything that they need. You are providing everything that they need. And Father, we pray also blessings on little David. It's hard for a little baby to be in a car that long or a truck, whatever they're driving. And Father, I just pray blessings on him, that you supernaturally just comfort him. He's not going to be restless and fussy in any way. He's just going to do very, very well. So Father, you see the end from the beginning, and that's what we see for them as well, that they're already there. They've made the last trip. Everything's unloaded, everything's set up. And we thank you and praise you, Father, for giving them this home, and that you're just going to bless them mightily where you've moved them. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory be to God. We just bind up every tormenting spirit that may want to try to crash in on them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your protection is round about them all the way there. And there's going to be joy in that truck, car, vehicle, whatever what it is, the whole way. And we praise you, Father, for your presence there with them in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in both of them. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. All right. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Hey. Hey, everybody. Great to see y'all tonight. Just real quick, I was asked for prayer. I got to go back to Scranton, PA tomorrow. And I'll be here for another 10-day rotation. And this is a part where we do acceptance testing with the customer. And we just basically, it's a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, whatever. So like you guys noticed, it truly was a miracle. I think y'all can attest to that. But we had issues with our FSP. That's what they call it. I don't even know what it stands for, but our testing before we left. And man, early in the week, I was kind of getting frustrated because they keep sending me out to this project and they're like, hey, this is kind of unusual. And I felt in a sense it was like cruel and unusual punishment. I was like, okay, I'm done now. Get me out of here, you know? And I was kind of going into this a little bit negative this week. And I just started thinking about it, like, man, God, I mean, how much more does the Lord got to do for me to be, thrilled and excited and content and just believe? So I kind of felt bad for that. So I guess this is more of a repentance and then a prayer request. But I really feel my heart's changed, and I'm going into this believing that these issues are going to be fixed up. So to answer the whole thing, is it commissioned, which before I thought was impossible? Yes, that's a miracle. It is done. This testing is just like a prelude before we turn it over to operations. Hey, all yours. See you guys. So with that being said, I just want to have you guys pray and believe with me that this is going to be okay. It's going to be good. We can move on. And I don't mean it's wrong. I'm just kind of getting burnt out with all this stuff. But work, that is. Anyway, so I'll say a prayer. If anybody else wants to add on, man, feel free. So here we go. Lord, you know all things. You really do, because you showed us from time to time again, given my coworker Gary those dreams. That's awesome. I apologize, Lord, for even having doubt in my heart. I rebuke that in Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness. I thank you that Jesus' sacrifice was enough. It surely was enough. It's enough for me. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you once again solve these problems. And Lord, we go in there, they're going to say, yep, it's ours, we're good, turn it over, Lord. Not just, I thank you for it, and I confess it in front of my brothers and sisters here, and I thank you they believe with me. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What was that acronym, SST?
FST, like Frank, Science Hall. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Lord, we just thank you that this is going to be a supernatural occurrence for Isaac and all the people around him. And he's just going to act like it's an everyday thing because he knows you're behind it. And we praise you, Father. And you're going to get the glory, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, that this test is going to be a quick no-brainer. And we thank you for the wisdom that you've given Isaac during this test. And we praise you, Lord, for good testimony from Isaac next time we meet. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for putting peace in his heart because you're in charge. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else? Well, it is done. Amen. I want to pray for Julie's internet. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that internet to be stable, be faster than it ever has been before. And I command it not to shut down on her, not one more time in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that she has not only 5G, she's got God G in hers. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We believe it. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Excuse me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Joe. All right, Julie, you're up.
Go ahead, I had a praise report on 2 months ago. Some hornets moving house in under my kitchen window. Well, I pray over it, and over the last couple of weeks, it's just getting bigger and bigger. But finally, on Tuesday, they move house. So it's just thank you, Lord, for don't get any hassles from them. Thank you.
Amen.
Joe, what was under your kitchen window?
Hornet's nest. Hornet?
Hornet's nest.
Hornet. Hornet's nest.
Yeah.
Is it gone?
On Tuesday, my move house, yeah. The building is still there, but my move house.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
And nobody's moving in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's right. That's a vacant apartment. Thank you, Lord. All right, Isaac.
There you go. Hey, Michael, it's me, Geneva.
Yeah. Hi, Geneva.
Hey, we're over here, Oscar Marianas, but I just want to say a prayer because Micah, which this could be completely normal. I know every baby is different, but as a new mama, you know, I don't know, kind of makes me nervous. But she's been a projectile, like throwing up her breast milk, like at least once or twice a day, and it's been like a lot, like back to back to back. And that could be normal, like I said, but either way, it's just like Satan's trying to throw all these thoughts in my mind. And I feel like he was trying to say things to me last night, and I rebuked it, and I started praying in the spirit last night. And anyways, I just want to pray for a hedge of protection around her, and that the, you know, spit up or whatever's fine, like, but the vomiting stops in Jesus' name, you know?
Yeah.
No.
All right. I'm going to let one of the bombers do that. They always throw up on me when I got them like this, you know, on the floor.
Don't do that, Michael.
I know. Well, go ahead, Lana.
I'd like to pray for Geneva and little Micah. Father God, I lift up our precious new mom, our sister Geneva, to you, as well as her precious baby, Micah, this daughter of the mighty King, and a blessing to every one of us here on the outreach to be able to pray for her and to support her parents, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come against the spitting up. We command it to cease and desist. And that little Micah is going to keep her milk down because it's nourishing and it's beneficial to her, and because that's the way you created it, so she's got no other choice. And I'm sure she'd like it that way too if somebody could ask her. Those demons that are messing with her, that are causing Geneva to be concerned and to come out of the rest in Christ, we command you to stop. We bind you up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we send you packing, because Micah is covered by the blood of Jesus. She is the daughter of the King, and she is under the authority of parents who are also covered by the blood of Jesus and are children of the mighty King in heaven.
We command their internet to be solid.
Father God, we in their lives and in the lives of Giles, and give all the glory to God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Little Marka, little Marka is completely healed of this.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. She's going to be a fine little baby. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Lana. Yeah, Julie.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. Looks like Theo put in the chat to agree with them that their trip to go see family as well. They're apparently on their way, and I think that's why Lana was breaking up. But Father, we lift them up to you, to the throne of grace, and we pray blessings on their trip, travel mercies, good weather, good driving conditions, safety, protection, their comings and their goings, that you go before them on this trip with family and every concern that they may have. We bind that and we cast it down. We thank you, Lord, that no spirits of religion or denominationalism or lying and deceiving and pride and all whatever is going on there, that those demons are bound. Where Lana and Theo go, the presence of the Lord is there and his holy angels, and that they have the authority wherever they go to bind up and cast down and bless, and that they just, that their family sees the love of God, sees the Christ in them, and we bind and cast down all spirits of jealousy and faction and lies, slander, hate, and the like, in Jesus' name, that they're just going to have a really blessed time from the time they get there until they leave. And it's, we just thank you, Lord, and we look forward to the good report on that family visit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I believe it with you. I hook my faith up with Julie, as everybody else does. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to have a joyous, peaceful time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Anyone else got a prayer or a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Julie. Or what's your name? Missy.
Okay. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to my parents. Not sure if I'm going to stay till Monday morning or Tuesday or Wednesday. Anyway, but tomorrow my dad is supposed to have his pacemaker replaced. And Father, I know you want the glory and the honor and the praise. And I ask, Lord, that whatever that looks like, for some reason, Lord, that does not happen tomorrow, Lord, because we've already prayed, Lord, that you heal his heart, that he does not need that pacemaker, Lord. And we believe it's done. And so, Lord, whatever that looks like, I pray that that does not come about tomorrow, because you are his healer, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for doing that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you. I ask you, Lord, for strength and energy for this trip and for the whole time I'm there. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that your power is made perfect in weakness. I thank you, Lord, for giving me your strength and your energy in my body, Lord, for whatever it is you have planned. And I ask you to show me your plan for me. You show me my schedule, whatever it is you want me to do each day, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I wholly depend on you, Lord. And thank you for your guidance, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing my time with my family, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they're a blessing to me and I'm a blessing to them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for working it out, Lord, that I can see Matt, Megan, and Ryder also while I'm there. And all the other things that I believe you put in my heart, but just work all the details out, Lord. Where, when, how, Lord, and to your praise and your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a good, glorious time that her dad is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? And Missy's knee is healed too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My knee is healed. Thank Amen. You, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Amen. Jesus. We believe. All right, anyone else? Oh, Andrew, you might get a little time extra here. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have for your theological pleasure tonight a young man straight from the Canadian Royal Mounted Police out of Montreal, I think. Is that no? It's one of them cities up there in Canada. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a blessing because he's got a good word for us in Jesus' name. What town is it?
Ottawa.
Yeah, that one. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Andrew, you have it, brother.
Okay. I'm amazed that no one else thought of this. Mine is about your journey, like the Pilgrim's Progress. And everyone has a journey. First of all, I'm just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, seeing as most of this is your word, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would most definitely be evident and present with me to speak what I need to speak. And I pray that my brethren would be blessed by you, Lord. All glory and honor unto you for this. I am just a lowly witness, and I thank you, Lord, for everything in my life. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so our journey, past, present, which is an example, and future. I had 4 pages of this written out. And I've changed it several times because I've noticed that sometimes you don't get too much time to do these things. And anyways, so what we're going to do is we're going to go into some of the past here. From Abraham himself, from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, where Abraham starts, and verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make
thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee, I will curse. And in these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, the third verse here talks about blessing and cursing. In the Gospels, there's an individual millstone of cursing. And I'm sure you all know the millstone verse about not receiving one of these little ones. But in the book of Revelation, there's a corporate body millstone. It's in there. And I'm just going to leave it up to people to peruse that. Another journey verse that we have to take with us present. We emulate what Abraham did there, because we have to leave the country that we're in to seek out the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So Psalm 121 is another journey. My help comes from the Lord is the title of this psalm in the ESORD. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now this is the Israel of Galatians 6:15 and 16. It's the Israel of God. It's not a separate nation. It's pretty much all the nations. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Preserve thy soul. You know, a sanctified person gets full sanctification at the time when he gets saved. And he shall keep thy soul, your sanctified soul. The Lord will keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Under the blood of the Lamb, when you go in and out. Now, Jesus comes in, he brings the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 3:20 says so. And it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In 2 John 4, 2 John, I think, is the smallest book or letter in the whole Bible. Some really good stuff in here. I rejoice greatly that I have found certain of my children walking in truth, even as we receive commandment from the Father. And go right next page there to 3 John 4. No greater joy do I have than this, than this, to see, to hear my children walking in the truth. Of course, in 1 John,
It talks, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sins. But how do we do this walk? Since the Lord provides everything for our building, for our temple, all the items that we could ever possibly need, the Lord provides. He provides this, of course, even as John says in another place, in John 14:26, Jesus promises that the Father is going to send the Comforter. Of course, the Father and Jesus are so close that I don't even think he asks for this. I think they both adhere to it at the same time. And he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you of everything he teaches you. And it's through this truth walk, through this light walk, through this spirit walk, through this walk of love that's in the nine gifts of the Spirit, nine fruits of the Spirit, that you would attain this lovely walk, something you have to take with you as you go along. And in Ezekiel 36, verse 22, has something to say there about, I will put my spirit within you. No, David Eales gave once a teaching about being refilled with the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit gets used up in us in this teaching, from what I remember. And he says it has to be replenished. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. So in these verses that are entitled, I will put my spirit within you, I think that's something that we have to be aware of. And well, here it is. This is, therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which hath been profaned among the nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord. Then I shall sanctify. When I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Sorry about that. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Now, you know, in the parable of the sower, there's the fourth land. It's the good land, the land that flows with milk and honey and 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that land is needed. You have to be in that land. And, you know, the parable, right after this parable, it just so happens, to prove what he's going to do with us, that that someone in the next parable brought in some bad seed and sowed it amongst the good seed, and he told us, well, both of them are going to have to grow together till the end.
And we're going to have to gather the bad stuff, do an 18:18 Matthew there, and we're going to bind them, and they're going to be thrown in the fire. And the good fruit goes into his barn. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. From all your filthiness, you're going to be clean. And from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Oh, yes, he will. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart from out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. You know, I was told once that we are the Word made flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power be of God and not from us. Praise God. Amen. And I will put my spirit in within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And I will, and ye shall keep mine ordinances and do them. He's putting seeds in you. They're going to have fruition. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Yep, you're going to be in the fourth land, bearing fruit. And ye shall be my people. He's going to do this. And I will be your God. Enter his rest with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his rest with joy. And ye shall, and I will save you from all your uncleannesses. That's plural. And I will call for the grain. And I will multiply it. And lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field. And ye, that ye may receive no more the reproach of famine among the nations. Then shall ye remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good. And ye shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Gonna come to your senses. How's that for a prodigal son? Nor for your sake do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known to you. Be ashamed and confounded in your ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. In the day that I cleanse you from your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste places to be built up, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled. You know, it comes after there's tilling. Whereas it was a desolation in the sight that all that passed by. And they seem to know that there's something with this churchianity we have now. And they say, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, filled with the fruit, 30, 60, and 100. And the waste and desolate and the ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Praise God. Glory to God. Then the nations that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, have built this ruined place and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord. Now this is a particular verse I keep under my laptop here. Thus saith the Lord. For this moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel. Do it. To do it for them. Well, who else is going to do it? You know, there is a trust you have to have. There's God and Manon. Manon is a trust in a treasure. God is a treasure to us. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Oh, this man, I wonder who this man is. It's going to be a whole flock of them. And they're mature men. As the flock for sacrifice, as the flock of Jerusalem. In her appointed feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the end of that passage. And the next chapter is 37. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm just going to read these first 14 verses because I think it's pertinent as to what the Lord is going to do with this flock of men. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. They need some water, maybe some wine. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hearing the teaching. Thus saith the Lord unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live, because living is the word of God. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring your flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Oh, there was a noise too back there in the book of Acts. Peter heard it. And behold, an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I beheld, and lo, there was sinew upon them. And flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. living is the word of God, and active. In him we live, move, and have our being. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I would profess to you that this Israel is the Israel of Galatians chapter 6, 15 and 16, the Israel of God in Galatia and in the world. Behold, I say, our bones are dried up. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will open their graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I will place you in your land. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that hath spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Well, in all these things, I believe that there is a wonderful future, a future journey for us. And just as the Lord started our journey, he'll finish the journey. And we need not be afraid. We just need simply to trust in the Lord. He knows all our weaknesses. He knows all our poor understandings. But if Jesus once said that he's only going to speak what his Father speaks, and he's only going to do what his Father does, then I truly have to believe that there's going to be a much better, clearer communication with the Lord. The same way he sends his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything he's going to teach you. Then the reminder has to be there. He promised it. And it's the Holy Spirit. And we all receive that. And I just pray that the Lord would bless you and continue with you. You know, there are other examples there. There's The Pilgrim's Progress, The Shepherd of Hermas. One in particular in the last century, in 1945, there was a woman by the name of Sabina Warmbrand, the wife of Richard Warmbrand. She looked at her husband and she said, you have to say something, honey. And he said, if I say something, you're not going to have a husband. And then she looked back at her husband and said, I don't want no husband that's a coward. And he did speak up. And I'm sure she was perhaps a very lonely wife for a few years, over a dozen years. But I think they were reunited in the end. Anyways, everyone has I think that one was very pertinent because it has to do with
a system that wants nothing to do with God. And even that government has changed to someone. And this is the closing of this, because I have a feeling that a lot of people are gonna want to question a few of the things here. And I know that what I was reading was more of a parallel of what I think God's going to do with us in the future. And praise God. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That was a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got any questions or any answers? Yeah, Rion.
I got a question for Andrew on that that bit in Ezekiel he read about the dry bones and then the flesh, and just what's your view on that? Are you seeing that as something that's going to happen in the end times? Is that at the end of the resurrection when we receive our new bodies, or what's your view on that as you've studied that, Andrew?
Well, I took into account that this is talking about when Jesus came in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. But then we're told a very interesting teaching about the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years and what they represent. So I'm just wondering if there's a parallel here for the latter rain too, because everything has to be fulfilled. And in there, you know, he says that he's going to increase the seed and the fruit. So we know that from the book of Joel that he has to restore everything, that the locusts, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the canker worm took from God's crop. And there has to be a restoration of this fruit for us. And the fruit is something we're after. Fruit is something we want from the Lord. And the fruit of the Spirit, yes, there's 9 of them, but faith and faith that worketh love includes a lot more than just those 2 words. Like, how many different variations can you put in that? So that's where I was coming from when I saw that, when I read those. And there is a very much huge dryness now in the church that I think some of them know. They know there's a problem. And it's the ones that have been an ostrich and put their head in the sand, you know. They're not really, they shouldn't have wrapped up their talent and put it away. You have to reproduce 100%. Or at least some interest anyway. That said, you know, I still need a lot of fruit restored myself. And of course there's also the latter rain that's mentioned in Hosea, I think, chapter 6. The end of 5 and goes into 6. My people perish from the lack of knowledge. Something like that around there. I'm sure you're all familiar. Hosea is a good one to read, and the book of Joel is easy reading because it's not very long. Anyway. If there's questions, but there's even comments, you know, that people who've been on their walk, you know. My son came in today and told me how he encountered someone at his workplace. Oh, I forget the whole story, but we prayed for this man that quit his job today.
He quit his job today.
And the boss is on vacation. and this is like the second one?
It's the third one.
The third one, okay.
So let's just hope there's going to be employees left for this guy's company. But he's coming back on Monday. Hold on, make sure everything's straightened up on Friday so that everything could be at least clean when he comes back at the job site. Anyway, it's things like this that we run into, you know. I can remember the day when I went to my first golf tournament and I got the closest to the hole. And I got a trophy for it. We prayed, someone prayed for me about going to this and, at my workplace. And of course, Benjamin one time, you know, with Megan and my ex-wife and Megan and me, we all prayed for a pet for the family. This was when they were really small. And we've got this pet right there. And he's in the kitchen pot on top of a stove. And I used to be a comedian for the children. I don't know if I...
His name was Rexy.
Rexy. He came and showed up, you know. And I think that the cat blessed me more than the children. Because, you know, I said, well, if the cat's going to be out on the veranda, because my wife was... at that time was a little nervous about having a cat in the house that just showed up on the doorstep after we prayed for one. And I said, okay, we'll put him outside. Usually cats disappear when you put them outside overnight. But he was there in the morning when I went to work. So I said, I guess this is our cat. And then I was going, oh, I don't want to clean all this cat stuff. So I prayed again and I said, Lord, if this cat's still here when I get home, then it's our cat. Walked in at the end of the day, after work, and the voice came out, we have a cat. Yeah, poor cat, hardly any teeth in him. And he was the runt of the litter. And he, of course, when we lived out in the country, you know, he's trying to protect the whole grounds where we live. He's just a little cat. And there was the other cats there that came around. And I had to scare them away for him. And this cat even brought me a chipmunk and put it at my feet. It's still alive, too. He was giving me the honor of the kill, I guess. He ran under the veranda. Boy, was he shocked. How come you didn't take him? Chased in after him. Of course, all the kids went, hey, we got a chipmunk. A chipmunk pet. Well, he never came out with it again, so.
So yeah. That's what happened to Chip and Dale, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of you might not even know what I'm talking about, but I figured that'll be.
There was quite a few little blessings when I went through some hard times in my life. You know, I even prayed for a TV set, and that's the TV I have now, but. It's a nice box. It's
huge.
And there's no cable on it. Just have a few videos there that I watch, Christian movies and stuff, in my Friday night movie watch. And anyway, some road wardrobes that the kids have here that the store I bought them off of gave me a 15% discount on them because I was buying two. And we prayed about that. And yeah, so there was various things through your walk. And various healings and the stopping of rain and other things that has happened in my lifetime. The hard tests that we still go through, the one that, you know, I may have mentioned once a long time ago, but it's something that I'm still waiting on. And you just wait on things and they show up. And praise God. Anyway.
Go ahead, Pat.
Thank you, Andrew. That was, I personally believe that this is probably one of the most important messages that God has to the church today. And if I can say that there's a favorite place that the Lord has given me as far as verses, it would be these two chapters there in Jeremiah, because when the Lord first took me to those, well, let me ask you a question. This verse 37, chapter 36, 37, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, for this, moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them like men with a flock." I see the application of God was, you know, speaking to the children of Israel, and this was a message to Israel. And then later on, I caught the understanding of the parallel that this is a message to the church today. And then later on, I saw where it applied on a personal level as we as individuals. And I think you mentioned it before when you were starting this, is that we all need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. So I guess what I'm asking you is, what application do you feel strongest about for this verse versus thus, for this, moreover, will I be inquired of the house of Israel? How do you apply that? How are you seeing that as applicable to us?
Well, I believe that each individual would ask of the Lord for this. We all want to see the man child and the bride and the witnesses. So I think that this application is prayer. It has to be prayer. Prayer is something we all do. We all get better at it. It's something you can read about how to pray, but you still have to have an art of prayer. I think it's more of an art form to go before the Lord and how to make requests of Him, and it's always also kind of like a father-son relationship, a father-child relationship. In my case, and you know, you're going to ask, you know, and we ask individually, we ask corporately here. We went through a bunch of corporate asking on the prayer requests that were set before the Lord here, and you know, so and this is actually part of praying what we have right here, and It's always good to have a buddy with you, you know, someone to be with you, two by two, and you know, to work together on this. And that's how I see it, you know. Like I put my little note here. We are to seek the Lord to do this in us, to inquire of Him, the Lord, to make it come to pass in us, because only the Lord can do it. And not just in us, but whatever it may be to overcome by rest in the Lord and faith that worketh love. So that's my little note there, and got some other notes here from Isaiah 59:9-11, and some other notes in here. First John 3:16, which also correlates with John 3:16. It's 1 John 3:16 too. Again, if you think about everyone's journey, we all end up at the same place. And we all want as much as we want when we get there. As much as the Lord would give us when we get there. And because not everyone is the same, you've got to think soberly on this too. Not everyone is going to be an apostle, like it says in the word, or a prophet, or a teacher, preacher, evangelist, but everyone will be a witness. The fivefold ministry is an extension of your hand. Apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists, and the palm is the witnesses. And as you get further down here toward the arm, you're very close to the arm of the Lord. But I look at it that there's a fivefold ministry on the left hand too. And I think it's government, justice system, religion, teachers and professors, and media, the news. And then the palm is their witnesses. And their arm is worldly, and the spirit of the world and the spirit of man, which is in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and it's a different spirit altogether. It's the spirit of the world, the spirit of man, opposed to the spirit of heaven and the spirit of God. So, chapter 3 in Corinthians 2 has something to say about the Spirit there. 3 in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 3:19. I can't remember exactly what it said now. So, it's a walk in the Spirit. It's a walk in the truth. The Spirit of truth is mentioned as the Holy Spirit in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John. So you have this spirit walk called the spirit of truth. And the first truth of the fruit of the spirit is the love. And it's obedience. You don't obey unless the Lord gives you the thing to obey. You couldn't have come to the Lord unless the Lord gave it to you to be regenerated. And I was taught not too long ago by one of the messages here, which I really liked when I heard it, about some people just want a piece of bread dipped in wine, and as soon as he ate it, the devil entered into him. He didn't want too much of the bread and wine. He betrayed for that small piece the whole loaf and the whole bottle, to use an allegory. So those are the ones who fall away. They may know of their salvation. They don't bear fruit. They're in the third land. They're in the second land. And once you know things, you can't turn back. You know too much, and you you have to continue for what you know. You know, like, there's no time to debate in a person's head. Did I hear that right? You know, we know who's fooling you there. We know who's coming around with his temptations there. And it happens to us, but we take authority over that. This is why we need people praying for us too on the sidelines. There's enough different time zones here that everyone could be covered. Just with the people here, the 31 people that are here today. Plus more than 31, sorry. Because, yeah, so. And I often pray that the Lord would bless my brethren today in their Bible study, in their reading. So show them something new today. They're all going to read their Bible today, even if it's like for 10 minutes. I pray that they would see something new, you know. Or whether they can get into it longer, it's a joy to have, because the Lord's going to increase this tilled land. He's going to make more in the field and more in the tree, more fruit in the tree. You can give a guy so much fruit. Tell him, but. They got to fish for themselves too. They got, you have your own fruit. You know, even I believe the apostles like to partake of the fruit of other people. You know, but Titus came along and rescued them as he spoke in chapter 7, I think, of 2 Corinthians, or was it 8, where Titus comes along and they had a despair. You know, and I mentioned that the apostle was in despair. If the apostle was in despair, you know, then, and everyone else with him too, and you need the Lord at that point in time. You know, like when Peter was corrected by Paul for his dissimulation in the book of Acts, it was only going to be him that corrected him, because it was to prove Paul's apostleship. So that's why it happened there. And it's a polite word that you're doing something wrong here, Peter. You're supposed to stay with the Jews and the Gentiles together. You know, there's no separation here anymore of these two camps. Anyway, so I think that you know, if Stephen didn't get martyred, he could have perhaps been another apostle, coming up and coming apostle. Because he was well versed and seemed to get a lot of stuff right, and who knows, maybe they were getting some word about him, and that perhaps he needs to go on in a higher position somewhere. But that would be in accordance to what the apostles would get from the Lord back then. So, can I say no? Surely there's got to be some people out there that can add something about their journeys that were happening with them, or some revelations on this, and we're all on this journey, and we need to have things happening by the Lord, of course. And if it's sovereign God in us and through us, then he's with us. And just like it says in Ephesians 4:4, one of those seven ones was one God and Father who was over all, in all, and through all. So you just need to believe that he's doing this. Praise God.
Amen. That's some good discussion. Anybody else got a question? An answer? A comment? Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've had some thoughts on Israel for a long time. And, you know, David teaches us that we move from the literal to corporate bodies. And I feel that Israel is a corporate body today. So in Ezekiel 22:15, when the sins of Israel were dealt with by the Lord, and the sins being them falling into idolatry in a big way, the Lord took them out. They were scattered amongst the Gentiles. The northern tribes of Israel at the time were completely sent and scattered throughout, you know, other parts of the world. And in a similar fashion, the southern kingdom of Judah had the same problem, in that, you know, they thought they were in good standing, and yet they saw what happened to the northern brothers of the tribes, and they fell into their own sinful ways, and they were scattered, even though there was a remnant that came back and rebuilt Jerusalem back in the, you know, the writings of Ezra, Nehemiah. While there's a small portion, there was a large portion that still was scattered around the world. So in Ezekiel that Andrew was referring to, there are passages that refer to two sticks coming together, and the sticks being Judah and Israel. And if Israel, in a greater sense, is the corporate body of Israel, of the scattered sowing of the Lord by the Lord, of Israel throughout the world, then it could very well be that there's an aspect of that that refers to the gathering of Israel to be the gathering of, we know now that those that believe in Jesus as Messiah, he's the only way to the kingdom of heaven, that through him, the sowing, those seeds that were sown earlier by the Lord can be harvested. So in a greater sense, I'm thinking that portions of Ezekiel referred to the gathering of the same dry bones that came to life. That's what I want to add.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Patrick.
So, Andrew, I was, for some reason, I hadn't, I guess I hadn't thought really a lot. I kind of focused in chapter 36 there. But when you connected it with the chapter 37 and the dry bones, kind of put another light on it, because even in verse 36, chapter 36 and that verse 37 that we're talking about thus I will be inquired of by the house of Israel, I will increase them with men like a flock. And you brought out the point that that men, who is that man? That man is Jesus or the man child, or that is the people, the church, the bride. That is, he will increase the church in that day with men. And it says, as the flock for sacrifice. And I'm kind of connecting that in with the spiritual walk that he has us all on, of this death to self process and sanctification towards the purpose of completion or perfection. And this whole process, where you kind of brought it out, was in, sorry, I'm trying to do two things at one time, brought to reality then when God told Ezekiel to prophesy, look out at those bones. And I take it to mean that those bones are this vast panorama of apostate Christianity that has covered the world, that was, the seed was sent out 2,000 years ago and scattered, like Ray is talking about, was scattered to the four parts of the winds. And God is now speaking to this man in the previous chapter, verse 37, that man, corporate man that he has raised up, and now that man is in the, being typed by Ezekiel here, is being commanded to speak unto those dry bones. And so, even though it's one chapter right after the next, I didn't really make the connection to the two chapters there, like you just pointed out. But I think it's exciting that even the things that David has taught us about speaking forth the word, proclaiming the word by faith, and, you know, allowing that faith that we have to be projected out and given out, let your light so shine before men, etc. And even though I think that on a personal level, that these dry bones and the word that we speak does a microcosm of that within people that receive it, I think God is talking about something greater worldwide, whether it would be the pouring out of the Spirit of the latter rain or whatever that is that he's speaking about in these dry bones. And so I can see by what you're saying how it really connects with us now today in the church today, those that are moving through this sanctification process towards that perfection, looking for Christ being set free to be expressed within us. And just as a personal point, in back in chapter 36, and the Lord kind of showed me this a couple of years ago, I guess, where he is talking about a new heart will I give you and a new spirit. And he says in verse 26, and he says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And this part here, this application, kind of hit me in that number one, God isn't talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to those who have given their life to Christ, I believe, and have walked in that way and in his way. And he brought to my mind a verse today. I'm not quite sure of the context or whatever, but it was Paul saying, basically, maybe Peter was saying, you have not yet striven with sin unto blood. And it brought to my mind this life of sanctification that we're all going through, and the struggling and the battling and the failures, and they get up and fight the battle again and continually battling and striving and beat this thing down and keep this flesh under submission, etc. And through this continual warfare. And I personally see, at least for myself, that process has created a certain hardness in my soul, I guess in my heart, because of the battle. And when I see that word, that promise that he says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That really hits me as to where I am at right now in this walk with the Lord. And I connect that directly down to verse 37 that we just spoke about, that thus I will be inquired of the house of God to do this for them. I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do this for them. And I guess I'm looking at these verses of God doing this within us as individuals, because we all know that the corporate body is only built upon the stones of individuals' lives. And so I was looking at that verse. I'm stumbling here. 2 Corinthians 1:10, when Paul, I think he was feeling frustrated, and because God planted Paul at the beginning of this thing as a seed. And that seed was then scattered and sent out into all the earth. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, that's us, that's now, and be marveled at all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Even Paul realized that what he was saying wasn't going to be really fulfilled and accepted until that sometime in the future. So I don't know, I didn't mean to rattle off, but you certainly hit a section of scripture that I have totally come to love and trust and expect that God is not only doing it on the worldwide level for Israel, for the church, corporately for the bride, the man child, but also personally for us as individuals. I think it applies in all these areas. And so anyway, I just wanted to share those things, how it hit me. And thank you, Andrew, for sharing. It was really, really good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got something? Yeah, Ria.
Got one comment stood out for me, like what Pat said now about that verse that says, and God will do it for them. And I think almost if I almost imagine the Israelites, if they had a stony heart, like it says here, you'd almost be offended because they were so trained into doing things for God under the law. They had 613 laws to keep. It's them doing it. And then the Lord kind of says to them, yeah, you know what? You've tried and failed. I'm going to take out your stony heart, give you a heart of flesh, but I'm going to do it now for you. And what he was talking about there is I kind of imagine that the Lord is here prophesying about grace. That's grace that's coming, because grace is God doing it for us. The law is us doing it for God. It's the other way around. That's works based. But God doing something for us means he gets all the glory, and it's nothing that we have done. It's nothing that we can't say, yes, it's because we've kept any law. But no, God says, no, I'm going to do it for you. It's you know, if I'm teaching the kids to do something, you know, the best way is to say, okay, you do it. Then it feels like, you know, that feels like they've got the accomplishment. I'm going to give them it to do, and then they do it. If I keep on saying, no, I'm going to do it for you, you know, they don't. I take all the glory for myself, right? So, okay, great. You're teaching me how to do it, but you're still doing all of it, Dad. Like, what's that about? But that's how God is. He says, no, you, that means you do, you there's don't do any work. You do, you don't do any of the works, right?
In the door.
It's all God's. Yes. I just thought that kind of stood out for me. That little piece there, kind of prophesying grace.
Sorry about that, Lana had her deal, but you did. That's okay. All right. Thank you, Rihanna. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, this stony heart, you know, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. To kind of what was coming to me too in this, and is some of what Rian was saying about there. What came to me is what it talks about in Hebrews 3, where it says, talks about an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. That evil heart of unbelief is the same as that stony heart. And, you know, they were so, used to the law doing things by their works, you know, and they couldn't, you know, and now we have grace, you know, Rian was saying, and it's like everything's a gift. It's his grace. And all we have to do is believe it, because let God be true and every man a liar. You know, God's like God, you know, God is not a man that he should lie, you know. And it's like, Lord, help us, you know, no matter what, to believe what your word says, because it doesn't matter what we see with our eyes. It doesn't matter what we hear. It doesn't matter what we feel. You know, Lord, let it be, you said it and we believe it, you know. And, you know, it's, you know, if you just go back and read that there in Hebrews 3, you know, take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. I mean, we don't have to have an evil heart of belief about everything. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we're born again in certain areas of our soul, but there's other areas that we're not, you know, manifestly. But by faith, we believe that we're completely born again and renewed and transformed into the image of the Lord. But the more that we truly believe that, believe every bit of the word and put it into action, that becomes a heart of flesh, you know, but it's God that does it in us, because it's his word. He works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. But that's what I see about that heart of stone, is an evil heart of unbelief. And he gives us that heart of flesh, you know, by his grace through what Jesus did. So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Well, thank you, sir. Greetings, everybody. I came in like 45 minutes late or so tonight, so I feel like I'm missing out on what's gone before. This morning I was spending some time in Genesis 16. As you know, when I had a little talk earlier, I was talking about how impressed I was with the whole story of Abraham. Anyway, I was just thinking about the whole story of Genesis 16 is about the first time Hagar shows up, and you know, all the pathos that's involved in that story. Just a terrible, terrible situation that Sarah thought up and Abraham bought into. And clearly Sarah didn't think about the ramifications of offering her slave to be her husband's wife. You just think about marriage and what that means. They did get married, and the two shall be one. And what does that mean for Hagar's authority? Of course, it was massively boosted. And Sarah didn't appreciate that. But anyway, I was just taken with the whole thing. You know, Hagar spent I don't know how long going over halfway to Egypt to fleeing from her mistress, and just thinking about the story of Abraham, it just seems like it was one, a lot of the narrative, a lot of the story is just Abraham not walking by faith, doing things on his own, desperately trying to achieve what God promised him, and everything he did caused trouble and is still causing trouble. We have, as you know, the Arabs come from Ishmael. And by the way, if you're Arab, those stories in the Old Testament are not to demean the races that currently exist. those are stories. By story, I mean parables for, you know, spiritual things for us now. But truly, the conflict, the hatred between Israel and their enemies is just a outcropping of what happened with Sarah and Abraham. You just think of the terrible, terrible misery that's resulted from that decision that Abraham decided to go ahead and hearken to Sarah and follow through with that. But anyway, here's Hagar down there, and here the angel of the Lord shows up to Hagar, you know, at least a week into her journey. I mean, you're talking about 80, 85 miles. And unless she got some other mode of transportation, I don't think she had many resources. If she's fleeing, I just don't see her taking a lot of stuff with her. I don't know how many people there at Abraham's establishment knew, you know, they certainly noticed her missing. But anyway, I mean, there's lots to think about there, but there's so much sadness and terrible things that happened, and yeah, God was he was so just not holding things against Abraham or Sarah, which is so encouraging, because most of the stories that happened were about them failing to trust God, and yet God was consistent. And bringing them back and being patient with them, and finally brought Abraham to this incredible test of offering Isaac, having to offer up Isaac at God's request. I mean, that's terrible, but Abraham followed through, and God prevented him from actually taking the life of his son, and so he ultimately passed his test. So I was quite overwhelmed this morning, you know, as I thought about these things. A lot of our lives are, like Pat was saying, just we see ourselves getting battle scars but we have to go through that to. Some of that, I mean, not that we have to, it's just a process we're going through. It's a needed process. And I remember years ago, a guy who prophesied over me in front of a ton of people I didn't know. I didn't even know him. But he said, you want to, and he was talking about the way I was feeling at the time, which is amazing because I'd never heard of him before. But he said, you want to get it, you know, get into the microwave and get it over as quick as possible. But he said, God wants this to be a slow fire burning thing. And he wants you to learn. You want to get it over with and go from A to Z now. And that's just not how God wants to do it. So anyway, back to Ned.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. Go ahead, Julie.
Some of the things that I was thinking about when Andrew was talking about, everyone has a journey, you know, it's a journey to Christ, it's a journey, and you know, to the kingdom of heaven, that we need the Holy Spirit, who he's, you know, Andrew says, yeah, he's our teacher, he teaches us all things. And that's good. Some of the things were coming to my mind. Scripture was like the Psalm 23. The whole psalm, really, but the verse I was thinking of was, he leads me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But the whole psalm is, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And thou anointest my head with oil. my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's like our path, you know. That's our path, Andrew. Praise God. You know, the whole psalm there. And then there's just a lot to think about there with what you were saying with our journey, you know, into the kingdom of heaven. And the other psalm that was coming to my mind is Matthew 7 and 13. It says, enter ye by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that enter thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And that, you know, some of you already talked about is, you know, it's losing our life following Christ and laying down our lives and, you know, picking up our cross and following Jesus, being a disciple. And, you know, many are called and few are chosen. And Paul refers to, you know, the race set before us, you know, that we have to keep running and putting everything else behind us. And it's not easy, and not everyone makes it. And, you know, some people fall away, and, you know, we pray that nobody falls away, but it's a journey, and we're supposed to count the cost and whether or not we can complete the journey, right? And I was just really blessed by everything, Andrew. Thank you.
Amen. All right, Anna, go ahead.
Not exactly Anna.
Oh, hey, Matt.
Hey. Kind of veer off topic real quick. I do have a testimony. After 7.5 months, we are now clean of all the debt and insurance and everything to do with the accident that we were in. And tonight we were out looking at a van for Anna, and we bought it. So now Anna has another vehicle.
So. Hey, man, y'all keep going, you're gonna have to have a bus. That's great. That's awesome. It's good. What kind is it?
It's a Toyota Sienna.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? Put stripes on it, make it go faster. What Greg said. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else that they'd like to share or comment on? Yeah, you are, Julie, a little bit. Not too bad, though. All right. Okay, Malcolm. Malcolm was having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but hopefully he struggled through it. Amen. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share before we close out tonight? Who's next? I think I looked at that a while ago.
Barry.
All right. Barry's up. Praise God. Good old Texas evangelist. Yeah, Missy.
have a prayer request for Alex. He stopped over the other day because he had to get his suit jacket because he had like a second interview on Zoom for Pepsi down in Plano, Texas. And we just need to contact him and get and find out how the interview went. But so I just want y'all to agree with me on this. I don't know what the Lord has planned for him, but my prayer is you know, Merle, you know, I pretty much prayed this with Alex the other day when he was here. And so, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the perfect job for Alex, no matter where it is, Lord, that it be a perfect match, that it be a job that he likes, Lord, and that it not be misery and drudgery. Because, Lord, that's how it is right now with him. And that, Lord, that he sees that I ask you to change his heart and his attitude to be a joyful attitude about work, and because he likes it, Lord. And that, Lord, I just ask you to preserve him and keep them from the things of the world and the you know, the corporate drive or whatever, Lord. But this, that he just be happy, Lord, to have a job and not desire to make loads of money and to live after the pleasures of this life, Lord, but to know that everything is from you, Lord, and that everything that he does is unto you, and that he serves you, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, for the perfect fit, whatever job that may be, Lord, wherever it may be, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in him, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for growing him up into a mighty man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe with Missy. That's going to happen for Alex. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm.
I was peeling a banana and so I had banana stuff all over my hands. Sorry. I just wanted to say a little bit more about the Hagar thing. I have a little map program on my Bible software, and the most of the context around that, I don't know that Abraham was looking at Mamre at the time, but during that time period, typically he was. The Bible says he was at Mamre, which is a little bit north of the other place. I forget the name of it. But anyway, like I said, I calculated the miles down to Beer Hell, Leroy or something like that. Whatever. Hagar named the place. Forgive me, I don't know Hebrew. She named it something about that God hears me. And then they called it Beer, and then the same name. Anyway, I with my map software, I can draw, you know, the distance as the crow flies. And of course, you know, when you're walking, depends on the terrain, but sometimes it's not always a straight shot. And I don't know how mountainous it is in the area on the way, but she, you know, she went a full 85 miles before the Lord talked to her by this well and told her to go back. But you know, for 85 miles, I was just calculating how long it takes normally to hike. Typically, when you're hiking, you know, you can do sometimes 20 miles, but typically it's 12 miles. And most people that like do the Pacific Crest Trail or the Appalachian Trail, they average about 12 miles a day. Of course, that's the trail, you know, up and down and whatnot. And again, we don't know what kind of transportation Hagar had, or she was probably by herself. But it hardly seems like a safe environment if you consider you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, right around that same time, certainly didn't respect women, and nor did they respect men. I mean, those two angels that showed up in the town, I mean, what a sick bunch of people. So, anyway, I was just thinking about the whole situation of Hagar fleeing from Sarai at the time. And then, so she had at least a week to think about this while she was on the road, on the trail, path, whatever it was. And I was just thinking God took his time in confronting her. And then she had a whole week or 2 weeks or whatever she took to get back. She was a good part of the way to Egypt, to where she grew up. And as far as we know, she was Egyptian, as the Bible says. But it just struck me that Hagar came back with a real testimony. She had met God personally, and implied in that name that she gave the well is that I've seen God in heaven. She doesn't say that, but the implication in the Hebrew is that she saw God and survived. She wasn't dead. So she comes back, and I'm sure she related to Abraham and Sarah what the angel had told her, which is, I see you and I hear you. And what an incredible rebuke that was to both the Sarah and Abraham. I mean, just terrible. I mean, can you imagine how they felt? Here, Sarah had badly mistreated Hagar, put her in this situation. She's an instigator of the whole plan. And now there's this extremely complex situation that's developed out of that. So anyway, I guess I was so overwhelmed after thinking about these things, I could hardly, I mean, emotionally, I was just, you know, in tears and whatnot. But I was just so impressed that God, you know, sees us. He sees all of our situations, and he's not, even though he doesn't show up for maybe a week or a period of time as we're into whatever journey we're on, taking off for Egypt or whatever. I mean, think about Jesus with Lazarus. He took his time. He wasn't rushing around Palestine healing people. He took his time. And I think God takes his time with us, and it's for a reason. There's a reason for these time lags. And here, you know, total, it was probably at least 2 weeks before Hagar got back. So you can imagine the talk of the little Abraham town, you know. Hagar's gone. Why was she gone? What's with that? And what happened? And, you know, was Sarah at fault somehow? Or what's the deal? And she shows up, you know, for all this time later and has this incredible story to tell. Anyway, it's just neat to think about these things, you know, and it's close to the top of the hour here, so I better QRT, Michael.
All right, buddy. All right. Thank you for that. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night. Yes, you're right, Rion. We have praise and worship next week. We thank you, Lord, that this will be a good message for everybody that listens to the broadcast tonight. And that they would get something out of it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you have put us on that holy walk, that perfection in Christ walk. And like Rion was talking about, it is nothing more than believing you, Lord, or doing it in us. And we are walking in it. We thank you, Father, for the man-child ministry that's fixing to come on the scene. Lord, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the anointing on the bride as well. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for working in us the things that we need to allow you to work in us, Lord. get rid of all of the dross. We praise you, Father, for doing that. Lord, I thank you for protecting all of my brothers and sisters till we meet again. And I thank you, Father, when we do meet again, it's going to be an awesome time again. In Jesus' name, give everybody a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Protect them. Bring them back safe and sound. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Andrew tonight, too. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.